We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
All the dramatic things I've ever seen. George's Box. Goodness gracious.
Goodness gracious. Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
Hey, yo, it's a good day to be a Yankee fan.
We're back, man. It feels like 2019. Like, I wake up happy every day. Every day they're on, I think we can win. It's so much
different. No, I think the 2019 team always still kind of felt like bullshit.
Really?
Yeah, it kind of, you know, a lot of those guys stunk. Gary Sanchez, we knew, was fucking fake.
They won 103 games, though, so it still felt like every day you woke up and it was like, oh, they're going to win today. At least that's how I felt that year.
In my, like, Yankees career, there have been a few times where I've been like, yo, holy shit, like, I'm blogging a World Series. Like when I was at Barstool, like 17 was my last year, and I was like, holy shit, I'm going to – and I knew it was my last year. So I was like, holy shit, I'm going to blog a World Series and, like, go out on top. There were times when we got, you know, deep – you know, we got into the postseason or, you know, and it's like, ah, there's still Jeter magic out there. So, mm-hmm. like – maybe, because like blogging a World Series early in Barstool would have been something.
Yeah,
you know,
sick.
Yeah. But it does. I mean, it's just the world's so much better when they play like this, because I'm not as like, fuck, I got to be there. I got to watch. I got to, you know, like I don't have to watch every pitch so that I can see the thing that is just going to fucking trigger me. Like, what it is. Is like, I want to know exactly why I'm going to be mad. Whereas now it's like, oh, if I'm putting, you know, just because, like, oh, I'm putting my kids to bed, I'm not like, want my head out the door watching what's going on.
Right, right. No, it makes it a lot better. And there were two things that really stood out to me this week that I thought never would have happened last year. So, first, Tuesday night is the crazy game. They come back, they're throwing at each other. Judge hits a crazy walk-off bomb. I mean, as Michael Kay says, stadium's up for grabs. They come back the next morning. It was a 12:30 game for a Wednesday game, a matinee, and they win that game. And 2 years ago, it would have been the fog machine, the smoke machine, and they would have packed it in the next day. The fact that they won and didn't have a hangover game on that day game, like, that really stood out to me.
I thought that was big because, well, it was like three games in like 27 hours.
Yeah, because they had day game, night game, day game.
Yeah.
So it was really weird. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, they come back, they win that, and – or, yeah, no, so it was more than 27 hours. Sorry. But, yeah, normally, one, that's a punt lineup. That's as punt lineup as it gets. Ryan LaMare is starting in center field. That's as punt as it gets. I think as we look at, like, the team, it's older, kind of. Like, we had the oldest team for a while. Then we had like kind of the youngest team for a while, and the young guys have matured. I think, you know, if we were to have to go into Fenway for a playoff series this year, which it looks like through the standings we won't, Aaron Judge isn't bringing a boombox because he knows better than to bring the boombox. It just does it. It's not, what's it going to do for you? It's going to do nothing. There's no, like, you don't win that series and then, like, also, like, fuck yeah, we had a boombox. Like, it adds nothing. So I think they know that. I think when you look at losing most of the season in 20, having a disappointing 21, coming into 22, where you've got kind of this perfect mix of Judge has something to prove, Stanton is healthy and they're letting him play the field at times, so he's got something to prove. Rizzo's trying to outperform his contract so he can opt out. Gleyber, who's been playing great since we trashed him, you know, 2 weeks ago, but like he's on that precipice of like, am I a good player or am I a bad player? Because for the 2 good weeks he had, he could have 2 shitty weeks, and we're still back at more bad time than good time. And like maybe he's maturing and realizing that. Donaldson's a veteran. Cole has like a grasp of the team and he's performing in a way that should. Seve is not like a hot shot young stud anymore. So, you know, and I could go on and on, but like a lot of these guys I think have personally matured, which prevents the Tuesday night, hey, we're going to have, you know, a fucking fog machine. We've got the whole week ahead of us.
Yeah, it's a nice combination of guys coming up to their walk years and then just other guys, like you mentioned, that are just at a career crossroads, like Gleyber. Like, what am I going to be? And I remember 2019, it got to a point where every time they had a walk-off win and they did the smoke machine, it was like, they're going to lose tomorrow.
Yeah, it was like, not only are they going to lose tomorrow, it felt like, based on the lineups that were coming out and the things that we were seeing and hearing, it felt almost as if some people asked, like, hey, Boone, am I off tomorrow? Like, they were maybe, like, asking out of the lineup tomorrow so that I could enjoy tonight.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And they finally have something to prove. And I think last year they all had the excuse, because 2020 sucked, but all last year they kept saying, oh, last year was a Fugazi year. You know, we're going to get back on track. And then they kind of sucked again. And this year there really is no excuse. And it's like they finally have a fire under their asses. This is what we've been waiting for 3 years. And they're finally playing with some balls. It's been phenomenal.
And I think, you know, there were – when we made some of the deals we made, there were people who were reporting, like, when you look at the war, the expected war of every player on every team, and you total that up for the teams, Yankees are the best team in baseball. Like, this is what they were supposed to do. Like, Joey Gallo's playing like shit. If you put a guy on base, Hicks doesn't know what to do except maybe walk. But then even, like, well, those are the easiest guys to trash. Like, they kind of won us a game on Sunday.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, Hicks with the bases loaded walk and then Gallo. I mean, that even though they were already winning and it didn't end up meeting anything, it was huge insurance at the time for Gallo to make it go from 3-1 to 5-1. Just eases the tension.
It eases the tension. You feel better knowing that, like, you got to get on a plane. Nothing's going to sneak up on you in the ninth inning. And it just builds that comfort level. And here's the thing. Would I rather Gallo had hit a home run in, you know, on Saturday? And we ended up winning that game, you know, that 2-run home run. Yeah, I would. But I'd also rather he hits a home run while we're up by 2 runs than strikes out. You know, like he's going to – the home run can only lead to more home runs. Like good can come from that. So I'll take it.
Yeah, take what you can get. And they're winning in so many different ways. They won 1-0 against the Rangers. Then they won 14-7 against the White Sox. And they won yesterday despite what they 20 guys in a row got out. I mean, they're winning in all these bizarre ways. And that's what you have to do. If you want to win 100, 105 games, you got to do it in different ways. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, to beat the Rangers on Monday 1-0 and then Thursday and Friday score 15 and 10 runs is absurd. But like they're scoring a lot of runs in bunches at times. Pitchers are now getting like deeper into the games. The pitches that the bullpen, and I've been harping on this as being the pitches that the bullpen is throwing are meaning less, which is good for just the longevity of the season. But you know, we found there were so many times, you know, if you go back through my tweets, I'm sure your tweets, most Yankee fan tweets, for years, it's been like these guys are finding new ways to lose games.
Yes, especially last year.
Yeah.
Especially last year.
And now they're finding – like I don't miss at all watching Gary Sanchez get thrown out at third base with 2 outs on a ground ball in front of him from second. And, you know,
But yeah, no, him and Clint are the two guys that I think it's been really refreshing not having them. And Voight to an extent. Those three.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I'm tired of every time like Voight gets a hit or a home run, it's like Talking Yanks tweets it or like other fuck Luke Voight. Fuck Luke Voight in his face. Like, who gives a shit about Luke Voight? The guy was here for a cup of coffee, Cracker Jack home run title. He's fucking gone. He's never going to get good enough to come back to this team.
Oh, no, it's gone. But people are just obsessed. They do the same thing with Didi, David Robertson. It's like guys leave and people are
David
still
Robertson
obsessed.
Won a World Series at least.
Yeah, no, he did. He did. The other thing I noticed this week that never would have happened last year is the Thursday game. They're up 7-4 on the road. Loaiza lets up a back-breaking 3-run home run to tie it in the 7th inning. The White Sox are doing the fireworks. They're doing the blackout lights. Crowd's going crazy. The 2021 team is immediately folding and losing that game. And this team roped off 7 straight runs to win 14-7. Like, I couldn't believe that after watching all the ways they lost last year. The way they responded to that game-tying homer to put up a 7 spot, put up a touchdown. It was unbelievable. And I was like, man, this is just so different than last year.
So this is perfect. Full transparency for everyone. Nick goes to me earlier today. I want to kick off the show by throwing two things at you and just have you respond. We feel like that works well because, like, I'll fucking talk all day. The timing is perfect that you would mention that. So when we played the Field of Dreams game, I had a buddy here. And when we went ahead in that, I was just like, we're going to fucking lose this game. Like, that game had that ending written all over it. If you know the team, similar to how I talked about leaving the Phillies game early, you've seen one game. I've seen all the games. Mm-hmm. Same guy was here this weekend. He got here on Thursday. We're watching the game and he's like, oh man, the Yankees going to blow it. And I actually said, it's different than last year. They're going to fucking win this game. And I'm not worried about it. Not even in like competitive, like, oh, they're going to win this game. No problem. And then boom, boom, boom. So it's funny that you bring it up like that because I had the same friend here visiting.
It does feel so different. And aren't you fucking sick and tired of them showing that same Tim? How many times did they show the Tim Anderson walk-off?
A fucking lot.
And 500 times.
It was a juice ball. It was one game.
And we took 2 out of 3 in that series. The reason it stings is I was in Chicago that weekend, and I went to one of the games in Chicago. I didn't go to Iowa, obviously, but I just – every time I see that clip, I just remember sitting in my Chicago Airbnb with Frank Marco watching that ball go over the fence. And now it's painful, but no, it does feel – it feels so much different. To me, it's really – you can really kind of dumb it down to Eric Cressy and Matt Blake. Matt Blake completely transformed the pitching, and Cressy's keeping them all healthy. Those were our two biggest issues for basically the past decade, health and pitching, and they kind of fixed them both.
I think, too – I mean, so, yeah, so those are two huge ones. I think also I was on ESPN Syracuse earlier today talking to those guys on the midday show. And the other thing is, like, we're swinging and missing less. We're taking more – and so, like, sometimes it's annoying because, like, we just want to fucking hit a 3-run home run. But – you know, we want the grand slam, but like Hicks, doing what Hicks did yesterday, taking pitches, drawing the walk, showing patience. We're doing more of that as a team. We're swinging and there's more whiffs. There's less whiffs while we're at the plate. So we're at least putting the ball in play and letting other people make errors. Similar, like, you know, I was talking about on Mother's Day, how my brother-in-law was just like, what is up with the Rangers? It's like, oh, they just suck. And if you just hit the ball at them, it's 50-50 if they'll catch it.
Right, right.
And so, you know, that it just creates opportunities. And I mean, in Little League, they tell you that. Put the ball in play, make the other team make a play. Yeah, and that's all we're doing.
Obvious.
Besides Gallo.
They were very stubborn. Last year, they just kept swinging for the fences. They weren't hitting and running. They weren't stealing. And they were basically like, oh, well, we're going to hit bombs. And it seems like some of that stubbornness has gone away in there. Dude, how many – I've seen more hit and runs this year than I have my entire life, I think, and steal attempts. Like, they've dropped that stubbornness, and they're trying new things, and it's just so refreshing.
Well, I mean, it's a credit to you for pointing it out last year about just, like, how unathletic of a team we were. And we've gotten more – like, I know Tim LoCascio's on the IL right now with the back, but, you know, a couple weeks ago, Donaldson walks. He comes in. He steals second. Your manufacturing runs – IKF. I always mix up the order of the initials.
Yeah, it's hard.
You know, He provides more athleticism. Hicks is chasing his 30-30 season, really closing in on it. So, you know, when you look at, you know, just the way the guys are moving about the bases, and it's even, we talked about it last week with the play off the bag for that Rizzo got and flipped. That's just it.
Oh, yeah.
They're playing baseball athletically. They're not tripping over their feet. They're, whether it's they're more limber, they're doing more fucking God knows yoga. I have no idea, but like they are being more athletic. And I think it just carries over to every part of the game instead of just like, well, I'm just out here. I'm going to hit my home runs. People are going to fucking love it. And that's it. I mean, Hicks has 5 stolen bases. Kiner Falefa has 4. LeCastro's got 4. LeCastro has 4 stolen bases. It says he's been in 15 games. He's got to have, they don't show like innings played, but defensive innings.
He's 4 for 4. It's gotta be like 12. I would guess he's 4 for 4.
He got caught once.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Anthony Rizzo has 3 stolen bases.
And he hit a triple on Friday. That was cool.
Judge has 2. You know, Florial's been up, you know, for one game, stole a base. DJ has a stolen base. Trevino has a stolen base. Now, we're not going to see, you know, Stanton's not going to steal a base. You wish, like, Glaber could do something to steal a base. But just the fact that we're stealing that many bases compared to ourselves, you know, our past selves, we're easily going to beat the 17 that Tyler Wade stole last year.
Yeah, and at least the opposition's thinking about it now. Like last year, they weren't even thinking about it. It wasn't even a thought if you were playing the Yankees. And now they're all thinking about it. You mentioned Donaldson walking and getting on base and stuff. His defense, I mean, it's incredible. I don't miss Gio at third at all. The play Donaldson made yesterday where he dove to the line and he made a literally pinpoint perfect throw to Rizzo. His defense has been phenomenal. I don't remember him being that great of a defender when we were playing the Blue Jays, but yeah, he's phenomenal in the field.
Have you – so they only showed it – like only when you were actually watching the play happen. It wasn't in any of the replays, but the umpire – had like longer hair, not like long hair, but long. He had a little lettuce out of the back of the hat.
Okay, yeah.
And he was wearing big, almost like Bret the Hitman Hart sunglasses. And if you go back and you watch the actual play, throw comes over and the umpire like punches him out with like a big smile on his face. Like, wow, that was cool.
He was even impressed.
Yeah. And you know, listen, Gio made some great plays, right? No one tried to, like, if we could have done the rest of the trade and not taken Donaldson and still had Gio, I don't think anyone at that time would have complained at all.
No, nobody.
Nobody. But it's worked out. There's a veteran leadership. If it's the 9th inning and you could have Gio up or Donaldson up, you'd want Donaldson up.
Yeah, and he's been a better fielder.
Yeah, if there's a ball hit to either one of them, like, statistically, I think he's like barely a better fielder last year, Donaldson. But like, it's a toss up. Like, yeah, whatever. Either one of them, I feel good with. So that has been like a nice wrinkle in this, and it all goes back to staying healthy.
100%. They're all healthy. Cressy, whatever he's doing, I mean, it's working. I remember in 2020, we were all kind of poo-pooing it. And Cashman was like, oh, he needs a year to get in here and get his things in here. And we all kind of laughed. But I guess he did. LeCastro's the only one that's been on the IL. You know, they're completely healthy. Whatever he's doing, it's working. Donaldson was a guy they were worried about because he's missed a lot of time with a calf. Recent years, Judge and Stanton completely healthy. All of the pitchers, I think, except Herman. It's just been unbelievable, whatever they're doing in the training room.
So just to compare, the Yankees right now rank 5th in the American League in stolen bases. They finished 10th last year. They had 63 stolen bases the entire year last year. And right now, a quarter of the way into the year, they've got 21. So they're, you know, they'll steal 80-something bases. Maybe as it gets warmer, they'll probably, you know, get a little more limber. Those cold months, it's tough. But, like, yeah, they were 12th in 2019. They only sold 55 bases. It's just such – and I know, like, stolen bases don't make or break the season. But I just use that as, like, an indicator of, like, athleticism because it leads to the hit and runs.
Oh, 100%, 100%. They're way more athletic, and it's just guys that we had last year that were talented, but they didn't really fit. Like Clint Frazier, talented ball player, didn't really fit. Luke Voigt, talented ball player, didn't really fit. Now the pieces, it just feels like the puzzle just fits so much better, and it manifests itself in more athleticism, more steals, like you're talking about. They're just such a better watch.
Yeah, I mean, like Clint, we mentioned Clint a few times. Like, I think Clint, I don't even know what's going on with his.
He's actually going to start a rehab assignment. I saw in Iowa
because he had his appendix, right?
Yeah. But he's coming back to rehab.
He's just had a tough career. I mean, came to New York, like he wanted to be Derek Jeter, and then he got caught out one night with TMZ, out with me the next night. Cashman's calling his agent, like, "What the fuck is this guy doing?" You know, there was some pushback. Then it was like a billion questions about the hair. And then he has injuries and he's injury prone. Like that's just what it is. Same way I call Judge injury prone. You got to say the same thing about him. And then, you know, he lied about some injuries because he wanted to be on the field and it didn't work out. But like I'd rather have the team that we have now than the team that we had with him on it.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's been obvious. Nestor. I think I'm done waiting for the other shoe to drop. I think I'm – if somebody puts a gun to my head and said, where do you – I think he's a great number two at this point. Like, I don't think the other shoe's going to drop. I think he's just pretty fucking good.
Yeah, it's May 16th.
It is, but he's been doing it for close to a calendar year.
Close to a calendar year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Garrett Cole's been doing it for 20 years.
That's why I didn't say
he's number one. So, listen, I love – Nestor is so big because not only is he pitching well, he gave us 8 innings, second lowest ERA, all those things. He did it in 99 pitches. If we really needed, he could have gone out there for another inning and he could have, you know, thrown a complete game. If he hadn't given up that home run, they probably would have let him. He's got a rubber arm, so he'll be ready to go in 5 days when his start comes around. And when you're playing 23 games in 22 days, you need to get those good starts. You need to get that length, rest the bullpen. You have games where, as I've harped on, the bullpen pitches don't matter as much. And so that's great in terms of just like kind of resetting things and just like the bullpen's fresh. We're going to Baltimore for 4 games with a fresh as fuck bullpen thanks to him.
Yeah, and speaking of this 23 and 22, how beautifully are they handling this stretch? They've lost, what, only twice? One of them was a doubleheader game, and one of them, you know, they got walked off on Saturday night. But they're handling this gauntlet or whatever you want to call it literally perfectly.
I mean, the gauntlet is against shit teams.
That's true.
Toronto's it's supposed to be a good team.
We only had 2 against them. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
The key is, but, like, that doesn't take away from you. Just you play the schedule that's in front of you. So now – let's go to Baltimore. And they asked me, the Syracuse guys asked me, you know, so what do you look for out of this Orioles series? 4. I want 4.
Okay, I was going to say 3.
Yeah, I'll accept 3. At 2, you know, we all turn a little bit into Neil Keefe and it was just like, what the fuck? But at 3, I'm happy. We've won a series. Keep it going. Won 7 in a row. That would make it 8 in a row. Let's get back to the Bronx. Let's get another one against the White Sox. Let's get another series against the Orioles. But we did lose some of the games down there earlier in the season. We lost the series. And, like, momentum's on our side. The Orioles fucking suck. Let's go get 4.
Definitely. It's very difficult to sweep a 4-game series on the road. But, you know, they can definitely do it because Cole's pitching one of the games. If he wasn't, I'd say it'd be a little bit harder. But he's going to go Wednesday. Yeah, I mean, they could definitely take 3 out of 4 there, even though they move that wall back. Judge is sitting tonight, which I actually agree with. Usually I'm anti load management, but with this stretch and you want to sit him for an Orioles game, that's fine with me.
Yeah, you got to do in this stretch of games, he was going to have to sit at some point, right? You don't want it coming off of the rain delays, 3 days off. It can't be against Toronto. It can't be against the Blue Jays because it's divisional where it'll like really matter. And then you're trying to keep some momentum going into, you know, a long series against the White Sox. You sit them after a long, you know, it's not a terribly long flight. It's probably like a 2-hour, 2.5-hour flight. And I know they're not going through TSA and taking off their shoes and shit like regular people. But still, you give him that day. He's probably available to pinch hit if needed.
Yeah, hopefully not needed.
Yeah, but like he's probably available. He's not injured, so that's a good thing. And you get him, you know, now you've probably got him for the rest of this stretch of games until the off day on the 30th.
You would hope so. And one thing I've noticed, I don't know what the numbers are on this, but it seems like with Stanton, Rizzo, and Judge, I think Boone prefers to give them their off days on the road. I think those three love playing at Yankee Stadium. Rizzo because of the short porch and right, and then, you know, even Judge and Stanton going the other way to the short porch. So I think when he does try to give them load management days, he tries to do it on the road. And that's, you know, it also helps for people that are going to games. It kind of makes sense if you think about it.
There's probably a little bit of business decision. People are paying to see him, and I don't give a fuck if some dad in Baltimore saved up to bring his kids to go see, you know, I don't know, live in New York. What do you want me to tell you? Come back tomorrow. Tickets are free. But like their swings play to there. Like you said, Rizzo, Judge hits a lot of opposite field home runs. Stanton, like when Stanton is on, he's driving the ball to the opposite field gap a lot with power. It's not always a home run, but it's like that's when he's really locked in when he's going with the pitch. So the power alleys play there nicely.
And I think players, your star players, they just prefer to play at home anyway, right? Like if you're going to put a gun to Judge or Stanton's head and they say, oh, do you want your off day in Cleveland or do you want it to be in the Bronx? They'd rather have their off day in Cleveland. So he's going to cater to his top guys. Now, I'm sure somebody like Glaber probably doesn't get the option, but I think like Judge, Stan, Rizzo, maybe DJ, those top four guys probably get a choice.
Yeah, even if it's, you know, if it's Boone just saying like, hey, Judgey, you know, in this stretch, I'm going to have to give you an off day or two. Like, where do you want it? I'll take Baltimore on a Monday in the middle of it. You're already thrown off. Like, you have no, like, rhythm because, like, you're waking up in a hotel. It's in Baltimore. There's bodies in the harbor. It's fucking terrible. It's a real piece of shit place. I can't wait to go in July. Hotel is booked. But, you know, if you're playing at home, you're waking up in your own bed. You've got your same Uber driver, you know, like you've got a whole thing. You're eating your regular breakfast, lunch. So if you're going to be thrown off anyway, take the day then.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, they're coming home Friday. I'm going to that game actually Friday night against the White Sox, dude. I'm so excited. It's Andy, first game post-wedding.
Andy Pettit. Oh, yeah. I wonder how you'll hold up. What you say that like, yeah, I don't know. He's coming back from an injury.
It's more just the fact, like, mentally knowing I couldn't – other than opening day, I knew I wouldn't be able to go to any games before. So now that it's over, I'm just like, let's – now I just want to go to every game.
Yeah, I mean, don't get caught in the bleachers making out with someone. You're married now. Like, I don't – is your wife going with you?
She is not. Friday games are tough for her because she's coming back, obviously, because she works in Philly. But the nice thing, she kind of likes it because, like, if I go to a Saturday game, that pretty much wipes out my entire weekend.
Yeah.
If I go to a Friday night game, I can go to whatever obligation she wants me to go to on Saturday and Sunday. It just kind of makes more sense, I think.
So who are you going with?
I'm going with a former coworker that lives in Hoboken.
Nice, nice, nice.
Yeah, dude, I got the Amtrak from Trenton, 428. Leaves Trenton at 428, gets into Penn at 520.
What'd that cost? Like $40?
Dude, $18.
I knew it was going to be something obscene. I didn't think it would be
that
low.
Dude. It's like the same price as NJ Transit now. It's crazy. I've seen it as
less,
low as 15.
Less people are taking the train. There's less like in-person meetings. COVID numbers are up.
2019, that would have been $60.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, easily. Yeah, it's just like a supply and demand thing.
Yeah, so excited for that. And you mentioned the bobblehead. I don't give a shit about collectibles or action figures, but I think I want this one.
My cousin was trying to get me to go. She was like, I think we're going to go. Andy Pettit bobblehead night. I was just like, I don't give a fuck about that. I mean,
I can't imagine basing a game that I'm going to go to on what the giveaway is. Like, that's crazy to me.
Like, I can't sit here and be like, I'm a grown man. I don't give a fuck about that. I've got not everyone can see the video, but I got a fucking wrestling belt sitting over my shoulder. So it's like, it's not that. It's also you go Friday, you're going to get on the train, go to Penn Station, get on the train, get up, go have a beer, a shot, whatever, and you'll be in your seat for first pitch.
Yeah,
I don't really care if I'm there first. Like, if I'm in a conversation, I'm still in the bar. Like, I'll get there. So also the idea of, like, I'm going to go in. I'm going to be in the first 18,000 people in. That's probably not going to happen.
That's your issue. I have a second issue. My issue is I walk in. Usually when I get there, I'm grabbing a tall boy and a sausage right off the bat. carrying around this bobblehead for 3 hours. There's nowhere to put it. Then, like you mentioned, getting on the subway, getting on the train, from the point of 6:50 and they're handing me the bobblehead to 1 a.m. getting home, the chances of me keeping that and not losing it is very low.
Yeah. I mean, or you're like a married man who's like 30-ish, like with a drawstring backpack.
Right. Right. Which no, that's a pride issue.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, no, that's not me.
Can you bring those in?
I don't know. I have a wife. I just have her carry things.
I just – like people are like, oh, you can bring food in. You can bring plastic water. But I just assume you're not allowed to bring anything in. Like a chapstick is
– No, I think you're allowed to bring in like – you can bring in clothes, like a closed water bottle, which I get. Like if you're walking across from the bar and they're like dollar waters and you're like, you know what? I'm going to slam – especially it's the summer. Like I'm going to slam one now and I'm just going to – I'm going to bring one in. You know? I had no issue with that. But when the people are like, yeah, you could bring food in because you can. I was like, what do? You going to a deli? Like, oh, I'm going to bring in a fucking turkey club. I brought a Big Mac from across the street. I got some street meat. I'm going to bring that into the game. I get that it's pricey. I understand the food's pricey. The food is good inside Yankee Stadium. Like, have a whole experience.
Yeah, no, I enjoy the food. It doesn't work for people like us that are traveling more than an hour. Maybe if you live locally and you're just going from your apartment and there's a deli you really like and then you hop in an Uber and bring it in. I mean, I guess, but like I'm not thinking enough pregame. I'm going to go out of my way and get food and bring it in. Like, no, I'm just paying.
You got to fucking love baseball in a way that I do not. To be like, I'm just here to watch this game and enjoy this food that I brought from outside. Like, no, dude, I'm going there. I'm getting drunk. Like, yeah, if I live right. There was never a time when I lived on the Upper East Side. I went for 3 years in a row. I'd go to 40 games a year. I was fucking hammered at all those games. There was no like, oh, well, you know what? I want to go to Milano Deli and get a C7 and bring it with me. Because, like... like what are we doing here? Now I'm carrying food on the subway? Oh.
No. You get some disease if you eat it for sure. Dude, I see people bring in the nips too, like the little plastic like shots of Fireball.
Not mad at it.
Yeah.
Not mad.
How do they not catch that? It's just cuz it's not metal, you could just put it in your pocket?
Yeah, it's because the people who work security at Yankee Stadium are not well trained. Not good at their job. Like, yeah, if it's not metal, so, like, think about it. If you've got any girls with you, I don't know, they just, like, put it in their shirt, you know? Especially now, like, girls in their 30s, like, put it under a boob. I don't know, gravity's hit. But, like, you know, you could tuck it in your – like, they're not patting you down.
Right, right.
You're wearing cargo shorts. Like, you just walk in with, like, them in your pocket at this point. It used to be more of, like, a game of sneaking them in or, like, you know, I'd put stuff in my wife's purse. We didn't sneak in alcohol. We snuck in video equipment to, like, film stadium eats
sometimes. Right, I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
And, like, yeah. So I would just be like, hey, I need you to put this in your bag. And she'd be like, all right, I'll grab a pad. Like, you just throw – because then it's mostly guys. So once they open, they have their little stick and they're just like, oh, it's period over here. I'm done. Yeah. You know?
Oh. Stick.
Yeah, because they just have a wooden stick to, like, poke around in your purse. Yeah, I'm not mad at – like, I had some sake bombs on Friday, and okay. I was feeling it a little bit on Saturday. I was just tired. But I was telling my buddy, like, I did a shot at opening day, and I've last done a shot of, like, August of last year.
August of last year. Did we go to a game August of last year?
That's no, different. I was just at, like, I had a thing here at my house and I did a shot. But, like, gotcha. I used to do a fuck ton of shots.
Yeah.
I don't really do shots anymore. So, like, I'm not sneaking anything in. But I've been with people who have and I'm just like, fuck yeah, yeah, I'll do some fucking Fireball. Let's let it rip. Go nuts.
Yeah, the other thing I see is people have, like, the e-cigs and the weed pens everywhere. They must let you in. I've seen – at opening day, there were three people in our section that had them.
Yeah, well, they can't, like, take your vape. They tell you, like, you can't vape, and if security sees you vaping, they can ask you to leave or, like, turn it over. But, again, like, they're not making a lot of money, so, like, they don't give a fuck. So right, it really right. takes, like, some Karen or Kevin to be like, someone's vaping next to my kid, which also, like, hey, if you're vaping next to a kid, like, don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the old school days of just finding a back staircase and smoking cigarettes, but, you know, I'm an old man.
You did that at the old Yankee Stadium?
I did it at the new Yankee Stadium.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I've been. My dad got thrown out of the same Yankee game twice for smoking weed. Twice. He got thrown out the Spiral in left field at the old stadium.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
So he got – so he had – he had one of those passes, like two free tickets, like to present this if it's not sold out.
Okay, yeah,
a family friend
yeah.
who was like very high up. Mm-hmm. So like he had – when he was like in his 20s, he had that. And so it is his buddy. So went, you know, walked up, got two tickets, went in, and then like, oh, let's go back there to smoke a joint. No one cares. Someone cared. Fucking threw him out.
But, someone cared that day.
But there's no cell phones. So like if you're there with a group – now you're just gone. No one knows where you went. So he went and he bought another ticket, just walked up and was like, yeah, I didn't know he bought the cheapest ticket because he physically had his first ticket that like he couldn't get back into the game with, but it yeah, got him yeah. back to his seats, went hanging out. It was early in the game. And now, you know, a little later in the game, you want to go smoke a joint? Fucking eighth inning. Looks like we're headed to the Yankee Tavern because security is asking us to leave again.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This is a great lead-in. So sophomore year of college, I was at Delaware. I was 20, University of Delaware. And we were playing the Orioles in the DS. It was 2012 fall. So we were playing – we had two games in Camden Yards, games one and two. So a bunch of guys from my frat from like the New Jersey, New York area all decided, oh, you know, we're going to make a trip. So I go. I'm really excited. You know, 20 years old, not legal drinking age yet. We get in. We're in that – what are they called? Boogs Alley, whatever, in center field at Camden Yards before the game. And, like, you know, one of the older guys, you know, buys me a couple of tall boys. And I'm sitting there. I think it was two Bud Light tall boys. I'm obviously decked out in Yankees gear. And, I mean, I look kind of young now. At that point, I was 20 and probably looked like 16 or 17 at the time. And the security cop comes right up to me and he goes, hey, Yankee boy, you got ID? And I'm like, no. And then they escort me out. It's two huge dudes. They each grab one of my arms. They're leading me out like right away. And now I'm sitting outside Camden Yards. All my friends are inside. I have no other way back. I'm like, I do not know what to do except buy another ticket and go back in. So I went into some, like, I think it was a strip club that had an ATM.
Okay.
And I go to the ATM and I took out I think I had like, you know, $100 left in my account for the month for grocery money or something that my parents were funneling me. And I went and I had to scalp another ticket and went back in. But yeah, I had to buy two tickets to that game. So that's my getting thrown out story.
There you go. I don't think I've been thrown out of a Major League Baseball. I was asked to leave a game in Tampa, a Rays
at
game.
At the Trop?
Yeah.
Were you just bored and fucking around because it was
I think it was like Rays Red Sox. Like I did a year in like the Tampa area and I went to a game. I was like 19. I was fucking hammered and I was just yelling at someone and they were like, you got to go. And I was like, whatever. This place sucks anyway.
Is that your worst stadium or Oakland?
So I've never been to Oakland, but Oakland smells like shit apparently.
Yeah. I've heard that because it sounds like those two are like one A and one B for the two.
Yeah,
worst.
Tampa's not great, but like they know they're not great. So they're like they try. I mean, they have barbecue that you can get in there where they have like smokers outside the stadium. So like when everyone's leaving, they have a crew that's coming in to start like making the meat for the next day. So like they do some stuff there to like really go above and beyond. They were the first stadium I knew of that had like dollar hot dogs for kids. Like they were a little smaller. When they opened up, they were big on Dippin' Dots, the ice cream of the future.
The future.
Yeah. And then last year when we were in Baltimore, I was outside because we were in the Larry Hogan suite. Yeah. I went outside to smoke a joint and they didn't throw me out when they caught me because I'd come out of the governor's suite. So I guess like, but they were like, you can't do that here. I was like, all right, I'll go. I'll let Mr. Hogan know.
That's going to be a great trip, man. I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
July
22nd.
23rd. We're getting so you said we're going to get like the all you can eat.
No, we're not. Deck. We're not. It's sold out. I tried to get it.
Gotcha.
I tried
some regular blocks.
Yeah, we're just going to get like I don't know how many people we have yet. I'm still working on it. If it makes sense, we'll get a block of tickets. If not, everyone can just get whatever they want. Here's the problem between us. You like to know where you're sitting. You'd like to know where you're sitting right now so you can visualize the game in July.
Yes, exactly.
Whereas I'm just like, I don't know, I'm going to be hammered drunk. I'm going to be standing out in right field probably.
I think I've gotten a little bit better since I've met you. A little bit. Not a lot better, but I've learned a little bit of restraint.
A little bit of restraint because it's like, yeah, like I'm still at this point, I'm still like, I've reached out to people like, can we get the governor's suite again? Like, is he going to be there? Last year it was Preakness, so he wasn't using his suite. That's why we got it.
I doubt he's going to 81. I mean, he probably goes to
No, he's not.
10, 15 games max?
Yeah, but we're not trying to see the fucking Blue Jays there or the Royals. We're going for the Saturday night Yankee game.
Right, that's like
so the number one. So if he were to go, it's more likely, but he's busy fighting Donald Trump right now. Look at me. I'm reaching across party lines and sitting in a Republican governor's suite.
Oh, Hogan's a Republican. I didn't even know that. Hogan's a Republican? Gotcha. Yeah, I do remember it was Preakness Day when we went last. You got me in there at like 7:04. It was like – I remember you called me during the anthem, I think.
Yeah, well, because you were like, I got to get tickets. And I was like, all right. And you bought your tickets. And then as it came – I didn't even say anything to you. You were like, did you get tickets? I was like, yeah, I'm sitting in the governor's suite. And, you know, but like you already have tickets. So I can't tell him like, oh, I need more tickets for my buddy who's already got tickets. So like I'll see if I can get you in after the fact and just made it happen like that.
Yeah,
but by the time we got there, also, I was wrecked. And I was like, if I don't do this right now, I'm going to forget Nick exists.
we were bombed at that game. And they had a cool, and I remember in the suite, you could order, like, you could only order in bulk. Like, I remember ordering a six pack of beer. Like, you couldn't just get one beer. So we were like rotating.
Yeah, if you want to get, because like, it didn't come catered because the governor wasn't there. But like, yeah, you could either go out in the hallway and buy a beer, or if you're going to do it through a person, they're not going to bring you one beer. You got to order six.
Yeah, that was the perfect view too. It was kind of like the Delta view where you're a little bit up right behind home plate. But yeah, I mean, dude, we're going to a fucking Marlins Giants game, you know, for the last day of the honeymoon. And I bought the tickets today because I wanted to visualize it. I'm sure I could have walked up right to the window. They get like 10,000 fans a game. But yeah, I like doing it in advance. I've heard some actually good things about Marlins Park. I'm kind of
it's a
like
new stadium. It should be.
Yeah.
Like everything except for on the field, you know,
have
but
you
like
been there?
No, okay. No, I fucking hate Florida. Like there's very like going to Miami. Oh, too much
appeal
going
for
on.
You.
No, no appeal. Cause like, listen, I get it. If you enjoy, like, if you really love Cuban food or you love partying and nightclubs, which I'm just too old for, like, yeah, like, then I get it, like, wanting to go. But, like, here's the thing. I'm old and I'm, like, not a hot guy. Like, Miami's, like, for hot people. And I'm not a hot guy. Like, I'm a doughy 37-year-old father of two with, like, a gray beard. Like, I don't want Miami, and Miami does not want me.
Well said. No, we're trying to knock off stadiums, though. We're seeing that, and I think we're going to see Citi Field when the Yanks play there. I think it's, like, end of July. It's, like, a Tuesday night, but we're just going to just gonna try and rock it. Trying to knock them all out.
Citi Field's all right. Yeah, you got to do it before you have kids, because otherwise you're not going anywhere. Otherwise, you'll have a gray beard, and you can't go to Miami anymore. Like, yeah, no, it's just, like, Miami's not – a place like Tampa, I've just gone a lot of times because my parents live there, and like we used to vacation there before we lived there. Yeah, so yeah, but like big cities, no, I'm not really. I like Chicago.
Chicago might be my favorite city in the country. I think either that or San Diego.
I'm trying to think. Like, I don't really have. When the Yankees played in LA a couple years ago, I thought about going, but like, I'm not dying to get to Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, I'm also not like in LA. I just feel like I just, this is not.
Yeah, I don't want to go. I don't want to deal with like downtown. I like Santa Monica. I like going to Santa Monica Pier. I like going to Blue Plate Tacos. You know, those are the things I enjoy doing. I'm more likely to go to Anaheim than Dodger Stadium.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. It's just like, I'm not a hustle and bustle, I need to be out there nighttime guy.
People rave about Safeco or whatever they call it, T-Mobile Park in Seattle. Jamie's one of her bridesmaids lives out there. I'd like to get. I mean, that's a tough trip, but
I go. Like, yeah, it's like too far for me. Like, yeah. I'd have to be out there for work.
Okay.
You know, or like I've only gone the Giants, whatever PNC, whatever the fuck they call it.
Yeah, I can't even keep up with the names. Yeah.
AT&T, Oracle, whatever it is, Park. Because I was out there, I was interviewing for my job, and I literally was going to my hotel to get my bags, and they're like, your flight's delayed 5 hours. And I was like, looks like I'm going to a baseball game. It was like,
that's perfect timing.
Yeah, it was. I interviewed, I met a guy for dinner. I was supposed to have like, I don't know, 9 o'clock flight. And they were like, it's going to be 1 a.m. And so it was like 10 minutes to seven, 20 minutes to seven. Yeah. And I was literally walking. And it was like, oh, my hotel's 3 blocks this way, stadium's 3 blocks that way, flight's delayed. I'm going to go.
Yeah, that shakes out well. Was that – didn't you run it like see A-Rod getting out of his car or something in San Francisco? Or am I thinking another story you told me?
No.
Was there for Sunday night baseball? Okay. Yeah, I was thinking of someone else.
Yeah, but I – yeah, get in the stadiums gets few and far between. I got the Bronx, I got Baltimore, I got Boston. If the Yankees played in Citi Field on like a Saturday, I'd go. But on a Tuesday, I've been there enough times. I want to get out to San Diego.
Yes, that's it. I've seen that stadium like drinking at a bar outside of it, but I've never watched a game.
Yeah, I'd go there. I was supposed to go there before. I'd go to Kansas City. Like, that's a weird one, but like, I'd go because I like to eat. So it's like, it's a good food town.
People say that's like a sneakily underrated place to go, baseball town.
Yeah. It's just like living like Philly as the airport, you're kind of limited. And so, you know, there's not a lot of Philly to Kansas City flights for under $700.
Right. Even like, there's not many good road trip options this year, but they are in St. Louis on a weekend. And I kind of thought about it. And the flights were like, you can't fly there direct from either Philly or Newark, which are about equidistant for me.
Yeah. But, I thought about that too. Yeah. It's just, I do look at the beginning of every season to see like, what are the road trip things? My wife and I used to go. They haven't been, you know, obviously COVID the past couple of years, kids. But, like, I'll still do it when the schedule comes out later this year and be like, I don't know, babe, maybe we go to whatever. And she'll be like, oh, I think the girls will love that. I'm like, yeah, no, I meant them too. Yeah, I definitely was talking about them coming.
The problem is the National League has the better cities. Like, National League has San Diego, Denver, San Francisco. Like, the American League has Detroit and fucking Minnesota and Cleveland. Like, well, we don't have as many.
We're going to start playing everyone every year. So, you know, the Yankees will be in Philly every other year, which is great. My sister lives in Denver. So like if they catch a weekend, like that's an excuse to go out there. I got a place to stay.
I feel like you're going to call bullshit on this, but between our experience in Philly last year and where I live now, where I'm just like an hour and change from our stadium, the appeal of going to Philly is just not as – I mean, it was horrible. It was horrible last year. It was like the worst weekend of the year for me, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right. I do call bullshit on that. Like, there is no way that you live 45 minutes from the stadium. Like, a straight shot on 95.
Yeah.
A straight shot, like 45 minutes, and you're not going to go when they're here. If it's a weekend, I mean, if it's a Tuesday and you have anything else that comes up, maybe not. But if you are, if next year the Yankees are playing a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in Philly, and you and Jamie do not have children, Jamie isn't aggressively pregnant, like if she's even like first two trimesters, you are at least two of those games.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. It's just something I've been trying to tell myself the past couple of days, but it probably won't come true.
Yeah. It's a lie. It's a lie. But yeah, I'm excited for that because it does open up the like the possibilities of like places where you can go. Because yeah, I mean, like even like I'd like to go to Milwaukee.
Yes, and they're there this year on a weekend. That's one of the few good weekend options.
Yeah, it doesn't work out for me because of my life. But like I've been to Milwaukee one time. It was in December. I was there for two nights in like 2011, right? I'm on like my second business trip ever where they're like, get on a plane. I am shadowing a consultant thing that we're doing for Harley Davidson.
Okay.
Show up in Milwaukee, downtown Milwaukee. We just pick any place to go eat, like a bar restaurant thing. We sit down and they bring over a plate of like sausage, kielbasa. They put it down and we go, oh, sorry, we didn't order that. And they go, yeah, no, you just get that. That's just like chips in Milwaukee. Just like, here's a bunch of sausage. And I was like, I fucking like this place. And then I showed up in a suit to the Harley Davidson thing and they were like, I got pulled aside. And they're like, what are you doing? You can't wear that. We're all in t-shirts. We're Harley. I was just like, all right.
No, I've heard that's a fun city too. One quick Yankee thing I want to get back to. So Severino pitches tonight. I think he's got the worst ERA of all the starters, which is fine. Do you think he's going to get back to 2017, 2018 Sevy this year, or do you think he's going to be like a four ERA, you know, 3-4 starter type guy?
I think he's going to be a 3-4 starter type guy. I think he's going to have some flashes of greatness and some flashes of bring this guy behind the fucking stadium and put a bullet in him as the season goes on. And the hope is that when it gets to the playoffs, we're looking for him to start games and we're up 2-0, you know, 2-1 in the series.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I want to give him time and be patient, but at the same time, it's been over 2 years since the surgery. Like, at what point can we just say, all right, forget about the surgery? It's been X amount of.
Yeah, like it's now. It's just like you are what you are. And if he's not there, I'm not saying he can never get there again. I'm not saying he's not. He could get there this year. I'm just not gonna put like too much faith in it and build my hopes up. I'm very much just trying to like not build my hopes up about this team. Although it's like we're obviously winning the World Series. Like, it's so clear we're winning the World Series. And I'm just like excited that my wife is not pregnant and like I'm headed into the fall playoffs without a baby coming for the first time.
Right, right.
For the first time.
And your due dates too were like right during
November.
October 10th of November.
It was like November 10th. She was born on the 14th and 19th. So for the playoffs. So I do a thing when my wife's having a baby, we're a month out from her due date, I stop drinking and smoking. Because at that point, something happens. I need to be able to hop in a car and go. Also, you know, a little sympathy. So I was going to all those games in 19, like not having a sip of alcohol or anything, just like dead sober. But driving back and forth, like
I was doing it with you. I remember.
I had
you were
to
my
do,
DD.
Yeah, I had to do a lunch. Like I went with you. I picked up a rental car. We drove up to the stadium, came back. I had to go to New Brunswick to have a lunch the next day. That's why I had the rental car, come back. And then I got in the car with my wife and drove up to game 5.
And the first weekend when we played the Twins, I think we drove up together Friday. I think we sat in different places. Like, I think I went with my dad and you went with Neil or something. And then we all had the event the next day in right field. So, yeah, no, yeah. I guess you didn't drink at the event either?
No, so that was – no. So that was the last time I could drink.
Because okay, that was say, you had to have drank.
Because it was like October
7th or
8th. Like, yeah. And so it was outside the 1 month.
Oh, gotcha.
It was okay, it was the Saturday was my last hurrah.
Emily was a trooper that day, man.
She's a trooper all the time. She's a bad bitch. Nice ass. there's a tweet. Kyle Long tweeted, "What's a part of your state that you think is highly underappreciated for its natural beauty?" And I want to quote tweet and say, "My wife's ass." I've literally been staring at it on my screen this whole podcast. Like, should I fucking call out that butt? Well, now we'll see if she listens to the show. We'll see how far
she'll find
she...
out. Yeah,
she's
find
like, she admits she listens to every episode, but she's like, I tune out because she'll ask me a question. I'm like, I talked about this for 15 minutes with Nick. What do you don't know about spin rate? She's like, yeah, I tuned out there. So
every episode's a lot. Yeah.
One thing that we haven't talked about, I guess it's like happening kind of now. I know you don't really, you know, love diving into these things, but like Nestor got busted with some old tweets.
Yes.
You saw that. People are – so one, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to type in a person's handle and then the N-word and just like see if it comes up. Because I see Gary Sheffield Jr. or whatever the fuck his name is. Gary Sheffield's kid. Do they have the same name, that jerk off?
Yeah, that's his thing.
Fucking guy has done nothing in life. A fucking rollerblade into an age tree. He was like, can you believe these people went and fucking dug this up? And it's like, it takes 2 seconds, dummy. Like, it's not that hard to do. But I guess, like, my thing is, like, I don't get to decide who says that word or not. He said it. It was always with an A. Some of it were lyrics. Some of it were just like talking about his boys. None of it was derogatory towards anyone. But like, he's Cuban. He was born in Cuba. I grew up in the Bronx, Dominicans, Puerto Ricans. They say it all the time that way. And I just think it's a lot of white people deciding who could say what. Like, if CeCe Sabathia comes out and goes like, he can't fucking say that. There we go. That's it. I think like, it's like CeCe, Willie Randolph, not Reggie anymore because fuck Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, fuck him.
But like, I don't know, like some other like black former Yankee, like they could be like the tribunal who decide like if this is okay or not. But let's not throw Nestor off his thing.
I always thought the unwritten rule was basically that any kind of minority could say it. That's always kind of what I thought.
Yeah, I don't think anything's going to happen with it because like even like Nestor talked to a reporter and was just like, yeah, like I was in high school. And I was tweeting things and like, I just, you know, need to continue to be better. And like, now let's just keep it moving.
Dude, who gives a shit?
Yeah. Now, if he was saying, if it was Garrett Cole with a ER, it's a different situation.
100%. And people were comparing his tweets. Like he had a tweet that said, how's my dick taste, LMAO or something. And people were comparing that to the Josh Hader who was dropping hard R's and was serious about it on the Brewers. Like these are not the same guys. Like stop reaching.
This is closer to a Mitch Trubisky, I love kissing titties, 100%. Than a Josh Hader.
Oh my God. Yeah. So yeah, I don't think anybody gives a shit.
I just figured, you know, based on all the things I've talked about on this show, I can't not weigh in on who's allowed to say that word.
And he's in the spotlight now. He probably never thought that like this would like that people would be paying attention to him, and now he's the toast of the town, so it's coming up.
I'm sending the tweet my wife's ass.
Nice.
Let's see how that goes. You know, I'm getting a little frisky over here on a Monday.
You're feeling loose. Feeling loose, man.
Who knows? Maybe it turns her on a lot. Imagine she was like, I saw that. I'm so hot for you right now. I'm probably just going to get yelled at.
That's probably – it's like what you see in the videos versus what actually happens is like this exact scenario. Yeah.
What are you going to do? Man,
wild show today.
Yeah, you know, listen, when the team's playing good – like, what do you want me to break down? Fucking Cole's spin rate? No, it's good. It's a good spin rate. He's playing well. As Nick has always said, like, he got to be a 1-1 guy without spider attack. Did it take him a little bit to figure it out without spider attack? Yes. Is he maybe using something still? sure. Like, whatever. Hopefully. Like, yeah, as long as, like, he's not, you know, you're not hitting people, people aren't getting hurt. Listen, Hicks still isn't playing great, but, like, you know, he walked with the bases loaded. Hey, if you're going to get out, at least strike out instead of a double play. You know? Yeah.
There's nothing to complain about right nothing. Now. I mean, we can nitpick, but there really isn't. They're
like, people like, and nine. I want Chapman off this team. Like, listen, Chapman's not a big moment pitcher. Like, he blew Game 7 of the World Series for the Chicago Cubs. That's all you need to know. We all have the smirk just etched in our minds for forever, and that's just the way it is. Like, he's not a big moment guy. We know that, but he's very good, and, like, I don't know, maybe we make a move to Loaisiga later in the year when Britton comes back.
I think they're going to do – like, Boone hinted at this. This basically closer by committee. Holmes closed yesterday. Loaisiga's done it a couple of times. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, because it's time – because guess what? I don't care about fucking anybody's feelings. I don't care about Glaber's feelings, so I'm sure shit not going to care about Aroldis Chapman, who's, you know, in his mid to late 30s. I don't know how old he is. He's younger than me. Every once in a while, I remember, like, if the Yankees called me up and be like, we want to sign you to the team right now, I'd be the oldest player.
Yeah, he's like 33, 34, I think.
Yeah, but, like, he's not going to get another, like, huge deal.
No, this is it.
So this is it. So let's get, you know, hey, close some games. If he figures it out by the time the playoffs come, he's the guy. If not, next man up. He'd be a great seventh inning guy.
Amen.
You want to win a World Series with the Yankees or not? Huh? This is when you fucking throw the ball. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's going to be fun. I mean, this week, King should be rested. Peralta's rested. They're all rested. Bullpen's ready to go. Those blowouts helped over the weekend, and especially Nestor, giving them some length yesterday. It was just Nestor and Holmes, so they should be locked and loaded. Three minimum.
Yeah, I'd love to see four. Three I'll take. We need, like, Tuesday or Wednesday. We need to score, like, 10, 12 runs again. Like, really put some length. In the middle of this series, in the middle of this week, we need another blowout so that the pitching can kind of reset.
Yeah, Cole pitches Wednesday. It would be nice if they just score six runs in the first and then Cole just shuts him down and you don't even have to mentally invest into the game. That'd be, and especially since that's before the day game. I think Thursday is like a noon or
12:35.
Dude, what is up with all these 12:35 starts?
I don't know. It's like weird getaway day stuff. They didn't have any, like, while I was on paternity leave that I could go to. Like, I would have definitely gone. But yeah, like, the starts are all over the place. Like, I feel like I'm in a good rhythm of, like, I can just turn on MLB TV and there's the game. Like, so that's nice. Instead of, like, I need Hulu with a Paramount Plus.
Prime. Well, Prime, we don't have to do anything because we're out of market.
Yeah.
But, like, it does so, like, we went to happy hour at a bar in Princeton, which is, like, you know, 20 minutes away on Friday, and we were sitting there. I was like, oh, you know, we'll stay here for the game. And then I realized the bar didn't have Prime Video because they were in market going home. So that's the only time it really impacts you, the Apple and the Prime, is if you, like, want to watch the game at a bar.
Yeah, that makes sense. Luckily, I've got two beautiful little girls, so I don't go anywhere.
You don't go to bars. The only thing they got to fix is fucking 1 o'clock. I hate the 1 o'clock Saturday home games. It's the same thing you said, like, oh, I really want to go to that Cubs game because we never get Saturday night games. Like, if they could just make the Saturday standard 4 o'clock, everybody would be so much happier, man.
Listen, Saturday, June 11th, Cubs, 7:15. First 5,000 guests, 14 and younger, are getting a Yankee arm sleeve.
Coming?
What?
Your girl's coming. No.
The wife and I, we're dumping the girls. We'll be up there by like 1 o'clock, probably a late boozy brunch. Mm-hmm. We've got some other people coming with us. Nice. You know, we're going to try to get, I think we're trying to get to Billy's like no later than 5 o'clock.
Okay.
My wife is really trying to, like, this is a statement game for her. Yeah. Okay. She's trying to, like, I don't know who she's trying to prove it to, probably herself. But that, like, she still got it. She could still, because through all the, like, Barstool years of, like, going to a shit ton of games, going to 40 games, like, I'd go to 40 games. She'd get to 25. Like, she fucking loves Billy's. She loves getting in the dance circles after the game, just, like, fucking going nuts, listening to, having them play Pop That. Like,
and Fat Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, like that's what she said. She was like, just get me. It's really like her rehab assignment for Baltimore. She's just like, get me in Billy's with Pop Dat, and then we're good to go.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. That'll be a fun one. So yeah, I'll be at that game as well, and then I'm also going to go the Friday night Astros game like 2 weeks later. So I got a lot to look forward to. It's exactly like what you talk about. This is my favorite part of the season. You start visualizing the games you're going to go to, something to look forward to midweek. It's great, man. I cannot wait to start going to games.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. Yeah, I'll probably hit June. I'll hit the July game in Baltimore. I don't know when else. I might try to sneak up to Boston at some point.
See, I don't really have any interest in like seeing Fenway, to be honest. Everybody's like, you got to do it. I just don't think I'd enjoy it.
So, I mean, also, if I go to Fenway, I'm going with Carrabas. I'm not paying for tickets.
You're going to sit in a suite or something.
Yeah, like you're just, yeah, you're, okay, that's different. You're doing the Carrabas thing. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't just fly up there and just be like, I just want to go buy tickets. No.
Okay, yeah, I have no interest in doing that. Like, the idea of either driving or flying to a place where I'm going to hate everybody that's there, you know, pay $200 for some upper-level seat and just get harassed at a shitty old stadium, it just doesn't do it for me when Yankee Stadium's right here, so.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. Maybe we'll try to do a little sneak up there. We'll see. Well, I think that's all we got for this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my kids to bed. You can follow Nick on Twitter.
At NKirbyNYY.
Follow me at JJ from the Bronx. Follow the show at George's Box Pod. It's a good follow because you won't get any tweets, so it won't clog up your timeline.
Right.
And listen, Nick will be there next Friday. We'll both be there, I think, June 11th. So we'll see you there, or we'll see you at the parade.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.